Brother John Stone. Well, let's pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, O God. We come before you, Jesus, and present ourselves in your presence, Jesus. Ikataye ki arabasa tataralabaha. Kie yandororobo kuye kie yasa tataralabaha. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And I just have one word in my mind right now that maybe I could share a bit, talk about. I mean, it's about walking with God. I know, walking with God is not as easy as we think, but in the process of walking with God, we learn things. We get to know Him more in all kind of circumstances that God may put us in. You know, we learn from that. We grow from that. Amen. You know, I have this thing every year. I read the Bible. I'll try to read the Bible the whole year. Now I'm reading the Bible in another translation. What I'm on right now is basically, you know, the Israelites was walking, you know, came from Egypt, went through the Red Sea and walking. So they were walking with God those whole 40 years that they came out of Egypt, from Egypt all the way down to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea and to the wilderness. As they were walking with God, I mean, as I read this story, I know you guys read it sometimes, like, are you kidding me? When you run into these things, when the Israelites would do something, when they murmur and complain and sin against God and disobey God, and then in your back of your mind, I say, are you kidding me? Did you guys see what the Lord did? Did you guys see what the Lord did in Egypt and all these things that God did? He gave you water to drink, food to eat, and all these things. He comforted you. He gave you clothes that did never wear out. And every time they walk with God, every time God lead them somewhere, there will be a circumstances that will come that would get the whole group to complain and murmur and you know, disobey God in some way, some reason. And I believe that through that process, God is testing them. And I know for a fact for myself that walking with God is basically, it's a test every day. God is testing us, testing our faith every day. You know, last night, It was wonderful to hear Brother Hart teach us, and it was a good word to hear how God take us somewhere, or when we take a step in faith. You know, when God calls us and we take a step in faith, that means God has somehow, somewhere has a direction, or has a what do you call that? A destination that we're going. Amen. When God call us out of the world and into His marvelous light, into His body, God has something in store for each and every one of us. God has a destination for each and every one of us. You know, sometimes I tend to look back. Sometimes, like when I come to circumstances in my walk with God, when I come to difficulties and things like that in nature, you know, in our flesh, you intend to kind of, man, what am I doing? What, you know? And sometimes I remind God, I said, God, you put me into this thing. You brought me out of the world and you put me here. You baptized me you baptized me in your name. You gave me your spirit. There must be something why you brought me here. And there's times I would remind God that, and it would also remind me what my reason and purpose is. We may not know the whole clarity of what God has brought us from the world to here to this faith, but you know, just walking with God every day, even whatever circumstances that we go through, whatever problems or trials that we may go through in life, there is a process or there is something to be learned from that. And I know for myself, you know, I'm learning a lot of things, especially the beginning of this year. It was kind of difficult for me. It was kind of difficult, like, trying to look, like, where am I going? Why am I here? What am I doing here? You know, it's questioning. You raise all these questions in your mind. But through the beginning of the year, it was kind of all these questions in my mind was going on. But to now, it's like getting more clear and clearer. And the reason being, I believe, was that, you know, I for myself, as walking with God, I learned to accept it. Whatever situation that may come my way, whatever problem or circumstances that may come my way, I just got to accept it. You know, because the more and more we're trying to do something to fix it or to do something to kind of make it right, you know, sometimes, yeah, it's possible, but there's times that it's you can't do nothing about it but just to accept that. And what I found out from accepting these things is I get peace from it. The reason being I get peace from it because I give it to the Lord. I trust you. You know, God, you put me here for a reason. God, I'm going through these things for a reason. I'm going to accept it, and I will trust you for it. Okay? When I do it, I was like, I feel that peace inside of me. And I believe, you know, walking with God is learning how to accept every turns or every rocky roads or every hindrance that may come in our way. We just have to learn how to accept it. And again, waiting on the Lord for Him to kind of move those things aside. Because when we learn to accept these things, you know, we find the peace of God. We feel the peace of God in us. Amen. And back to the children of Israel, when they were walking with God for 40 years in the wilderness, and they keep complaining and murmuring and all this stuff. You know, God could not take them from what God has took them out from to their destination because of their complaint and murmuring and all these things that they're doing that displeases God. So basically what God did is that God took them back to their beginning, back to that wilderness and walk around there until that generation had basically passed away. Amen. To me, I get from that is that, you know, I got to accept all these things. I got to learn to accept what God has put in my table. Amen. And learn how to accept it and learn how to trust on God and learn how to wait on God. And I guess what I'm getting at is learning. We all need to learn what God is trying to do, or when we are walking with God, we are all learning in the process of it, all this stuff. What was the Bible tells us that, you know, God put a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I know Brother Johnson said that a few weeks back, that, you know, as we are walking with God, it doesn't mean that we're walking in joyness and in fullness. Yeah, we can. If we learn how to accept all these things that's going around us, amen. Of course, all these troubles may come our way. Amen. We will go through it every day. But just learning to accept it, learning how to trust on God and wait on Him, you know, God will give us that peace that can't break it, that the enemy cannot break or you know. Why not? Let's pray. Let's pray again in Jesus' name. Father, Hikataye Kiaralama Siye Katarabahaya. God, we are waiting on you, Jesus. We trust you, Father. God, we accept, oh God, whatever circumstances, God, that you would put us through, oh Lord Jesus, because there is a reason and a purpose why, oh God, you put us in those situations, oh God, to get us to point A to point B, Father, because there is a destination that you're trying to bring us to, Father, and the only way that you can bring us through that destination, oh God, is that you got to put us in these situations, in these trials, these tests, oh God, for us to go to the next level. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Brother Randy, I'd like for you to bring your wife and children up and stand right here. Come up and join them. Stand right here. There's not a lot of us here tonight. I wonder if we could come up and gather around this family. I'd like to pray for them tonight. You don't have to know all the details, but I trust that the hand of God, we know that the hand of God is upon these folks. We are thankful to work together, to serve together in ministry with them. And from time to time, you know, there's a scripture, I was looking for it while he was talking, but the Lord dropped this into my spirit. There's a scripture that talks about how a man can plan his way, but the Lord's in control. And as I thought about that, as it pertains to this family, sometimes men have an idea, but God has a plan. We don't know what that plan is all the time. Sometimes he shows us glimpses of it, gives us a word about it, and then things start to unfold around us, and we go, wait a minute, hold on, I thought this was the word of God. And so I want us to pray for them tonight. I want us to pray for wisdom, the understanding of God, and that he would order their steps, and that he would lead them. Brethren, sisters, lay hands on them. Let's pray for them together tonight. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this precious family. Father, as we work and labor together with them as the body of Christ, we pray a hedge about their minds. We speak your peace over their spirits, Father. In the name of Jesus, you know the beginning from the end tonight. You have everything in your control, Father. We have a confidence tonight that our steps are ordered by you. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. Our lives are fully in your hands tonight in the name of Jesus. 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 I pray for clarity of mind, clarity of thought. I speak peace upon them in their sleeping hours. I speak peace upon them in their waking hours. In the name of Jesus, impart a confidence to them, Father, tonight, that you are in control. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. Thank you, Brother Randy, for sharing that. By the way, if you were wondering, he said he enjoyed Brother Hart last night. Brother Hart was in Kent last night. We didn't have a secret service here. The Hart comes to the west side for work. His company's headquarters is in Olympia. And so from time to time, he's over on this side of the hill. A lot of times he comes over Monday morning and leaves Monday night, but he had some meetings on Tuesday. And so on his way out last night, he swung by Kent. And I was down there, Brother Randy was down there. And I hope you know that they have service on Tuesday nights at Kent. If you want to go to Kent, you're more than welcome to. let myself or Bishop know you're going. Text Brother Miko, let him know you're going. But if you feel, man, I want to be in service in Kent tonight, God bless you. There's Bible study on Tuesday night in Kent. But we had a good time. We enjoyed the time with Brother Hart. And there's probably a recording of it somewhere if you want to listen to it. But he said some powerful things about a destination, that God has a destination in mind for us. And he taught from the book of Luke where the disciples got into the boat with Jesus to head to the other side. And then a storm came up. And in the middle of the storm, as Brother Randy was talking about tonight, you start to question all these things. Why did I get in the boat? What's the plan of God now? I thought we had a plan. You mean there is no plan? God has a destination. He has a plan for us, and we have to trust that plan and stay confident through all the storms that come through that process. Brother Kendrick, would you come tonight as you sat down? Would you come tonight and share with us what the Lord's put upon your heart?
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Appreciated that, Brother Randy. It's also some confirmation. I wasn't in Kent, and I haven't listened to that, but now I know that I need to, because it's very much aligned with where the Lord has been directing me. We'll see how well I can run this remotely. Psalm 42, this is a section of Scripture that is really common. It's one that we quote a lot. It's very poetic. It starts out with this, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." It's very positive, and this is definitely one of those chapters, I'll tell you, that I've never really looked very closely at. And the Lord directed me to it, about two weeks ago. And so I was like, really? I think I know what this is, but all right, I'll take a look. We'll read through it. You know, and I get on the second verse. "My soul thirsteth for thee, for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" And then we get to verse 3. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And I kind of came to a screeching halt right there. It's like, hold on a minute. What is this chapter actually talking about? What is it that, and as you read through this, there's an amazing lesson in here that I've never seen before, and I'll do my best to share that with you here tonight. There's a level of transparency in here that I didn't expect to find, and a real honesty. And I think probably, and I'm going to switch over to Amplified to kind of walk through this for you. I think probably my first thought, the Lord sort of really got me looking at this, was just in that first verse. And again, this is an Amplified. "As the deer pants longingly for the water brooks, so my soul pants longingly for you, O God." So a deer, that's who it's talking about here, right? A deer. What would cause it to be thirsty? What would cause a deer to be desperately thirsty? What would cause it to be panting for the water? Well, probably if it was running. And that's exactly right, because it was being chased. Why would a deer be out of breath? Why would a deer be thirsty? Why would a deer be running in the first place? Well, it's because it's kind of toward the bottom of the food chain, and it's probably running from something, all right? And it's embattled, it's in crisis, it's got a situation, it's concerned, it's freaked out, and that's why it's trying to find the water. And in that context, it really shifted it for me. It made me understand the response really here that I usually have of challenging situations, Brother Randy, as we've said many times, is get out, right? How do I escape? How do I get out of this? And yet here, already in the first verse of this, we find a somewhat surprising and different approach. The pursuit, the desire is less, how do I get out of this? It's, where's God? How do I get back in contact with God? How do I reconnect with my Father? How do I reconnect with that source? That is a different approach than what I had ever seen before. In the second verse, my soul, side note on Amplified, when you see square brackets, which are not right here, we saw them in the previous one, square brackets are mostly academic expansions of the words that are underneath. If you were to go and unpack the original Greek and Hebrew, you'd find an explanation of what that is. Parentheses are a little bit different. They're a little more commentary, a little more opinion in those. So just keep that in mind when you're reading Amplified. My soul, or my life, or my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? So in a place of crisis, the response here was simply, how do I get back in the presence of God? That was the solution for dealing with this crisis. How long is it going to be until I get to spend some time with you again, Father? How long is it going to be until I get back in contact with you? And so the pursuit of that as the remedy was somewhat interesting. And you get down to verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night when they say to me all day long, where is your God? What we're starting to get a window into here is the sort of inner dialogue that's going on with the author. There's going to be some verses here in a minute where he's actually talking not to us as the listeners and not to God, but to his inner self, to his inner soul, having a conversation, if you will, with that weaker human part of our flesh. And that's what I mean by the astonishing level of transparency that's in here. I can relate to this. This is something that is very near to us. And yet, through this, there's a lesson in how he faces some of this. And again, you have this sense of being embattled. That's why this makes sense with what we said at sort of at the beginning with the heart panting after water because it's being pursued. Everything in this chapter is giving you this impression of somebody who is encompassed all around, is surrounded by enemies, and is surrounded really by negativity and by individuals who are perhaps evaluating their circumstance and saying, I thought you were a believer. I thought you were, where's your God now? And as we continue reading in here, you'll find that his soul is asking the same question. So if you ever find yourself in a situation or a circumstance where you find you're asking, God, where are you in all of this? And then maybe leaving there feeling like you're guilty or that you're like done something terribly wrong. No, you've just proven that you're still human, like all the rest of us, right? There's a part of us that is, that doesn't like, surprise on this, but there's a part of us which doesn't like suffering. There's a part of us which doesn't like trial. There's a part of us that doesn't like to be pursued. And in those times, You end up, the advice here really is to have this sort of conversation with yourself. So I want you to see how the writer here deals with this. In verse 4, these things I vividly remember as I pour out my soul. So the first thing he's doing is he's reaching back and he's bringing some things to mind in this situation, this circumstance that he's struggling in. How I used to go along before the great crowd of people and lead them in procession to the house of God, like a choir master before his singers, timing the steps to the music and the chant of the song with the voice of joy and Thanksgiving, a great crowd-keeping festival. He was thinking back to the last worship service he was in. He was thinking back to the last time that he was in the presence of God. Remember, this was written before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This was written before that. So he's thinking back, when was the last time that I had an opportunity to worship God? When was the last time that I had the time to spend with those of like-minded faith and worship God together? And so, again, at the outset of these things, I vividly remember as he's pouring out his soul before God. He's bringing back to remembrance these things. It tells me that I really need to count as valuable and precious those moments I have to stand and worship God and seek those out as often as I can, for they are essential to maintain my inner strength through these challenges and these times of trial that we may have. And then see, here he goes. He's having this conversation with himself, and he's sort of challenging himself. He's like, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. That really struck me there, that he was saying really to himself, trying to lift himself up and to pull himself out of despair, out of despondency, and to really regain that peace that at some point in the journey he had lost. And he's doing it by saying, listen, we are going to hope in God, and we are going to wait, not just casually, not passively, but expectantly. We're going to wait expectantly for him. Why am I going to do that? Because I'm looking forward to a time when I shall praise him for the help of his presence. I am going to praise him for his manifest presence in this situation that I am in right now. You know, there are going to be situations in life, some that we create for ourselves, and some that is just life happening. And the Lord is going to be there to help give us the strength that we need in those times. But I'm beginning to learn to make a distinction about those special times where I am in a situation I would consider unpleasant, and I am there because God has directed me into it. I am in the storm because he has sent me into the storm. I am in that place because he has sent me. And I'm starting to learn, especially through this lesson here, that when he sends us into those situations, if we submit to the process, if we stay tuned into him, if we stay connected to him and we keep our eyes focused on him, there will come a season out of that where we will praise him for that whole process that he led us through. There will come a time of praise. There will come a time of worship. There will come a time of revival, and a time when we will look back on that and say, ah, yes, God, your presence was there. Yes, your hand was there. Yes, your direction was there, Father. And I'm trusting that even though I'm in the middle of this now, there is going to come a time when I shall yet praise him. He goes on and he says, my soul, oh God, my soul is in despair within me. And he's crying out, the burden more than I can bear. Therefore, I will fervently remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Mount Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Sometime when I have a chance to do a little bit more study on this, I want to see if there's some significance in his reference to those specific locations. I don't want to speculate now. I'm sure there's something there. And then he goes and says, deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. There's this sense that yes, this is an overwhelming situation. Yes, this is, I'm feeling drowned in this, but I'm understanding that these are your waves, God. I'm understanding that this is something that's coming at your choosing and that this is in your hand. And so I will learn to trust in that, even though it is so difficult and it represents such a struggle. Again, following on from that, he says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. There's a theme here that we've heard already tonight, and that I think the Lord continues to bring back into our memory, is that he's going to be with us in these times, especially the times of his choosing, especially the times of his direction, because his whole point of leading us into those situations is so we can grow, so he can prepare us for the work in his kingdom. It's in response to our desire to be used in the kingdom of God, and so his loving kindness is going to be there with us, and we're going to feel his love and his assurance and his peace towards us. And at night, he will help us worship. He will give us a song of praise and joy, even in those difficult times. He will be there throughout that whole process. And so then this is his response. This is the writer's response back into this. He says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Such an interesting contrast here. To God, my rock. So he understands that in the midst of the storm and all of this, that the one fixed point is his God. That's the one thing he can count on. But still there's this cry within him. And again, we're human. We're going to go through this thing. This wasn't a sign of a lack of faith on his part necessarily. This wasn't a sign of failing on his part. He's just being real with us. He's saying, you know what? This is what I feel like, God. I feel like you've forgotten me. I feel like I am embattled because of the oppression of the enemy. And he goes on and he says, as a crushing of my bones with a sword, my adversaries taunt me while they say continually to me, where is your God? He's repeating this earlier, and it certainly is an artistic action to repeat what was said before in here, but I think it also brings some emphasis to this sense of feeling embattled. And there are going to be times, there are going to be times when the only way we know that God is with us in these storms is because we're with him in the midst of it, because we're feeling him spiritually. Everything else from our flesh, our mental analysis of the situation, everybody else around us, they're not going to see him. And as a result, it would be easy for us to lose track of him as well, were it not for that continued focus on him. And so in the last verse in here, he repeats something he said before, challenging his soul again. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become restless and disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I declare to you now, in whatever situation you're in, I declare to myself, in whatever situation I am dealing with, I shall yet praise him. 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 For I will soon see what all of this has purchased. I will soon see the outcome of what all of this has created in me. I will begin to see in all of you, I'm seeing already in many of you, every single time that I speak with you, I hear again and again the story of development that the Lord is doing and preparing us to be used in his kingdom. The final thing I'll share with you, when you get a moment, the Lord had also pointed me back, as we were reading recently on Sunday in Hebrews 11, that there's a connection here as well, and I'm not going to read all the way through Hebrews 11, but I encourage you to take a look at it from this perspective that we've just read in Psalm 42. One of the things that I find as a theme in there is the perspective that a lot of these, as we call them, the heroes of faith, the perspective that they had, and where it was that they were keeping their focus. Even this verse here in Hebrews 11 and 10, and sorry, I think, let me go back one, he's speaking in context there of sojourning in the promise of Abraham, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, the same. And then the next verse here, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was taking a long-term view, sort of looking a long ways out, looking at what the Lord was building, looking at the Lord, what the Lord was creating, looking at a point that was further out, but that's where his focus was at. You know, it's so easy to lose focus. But it's also relatively easy, once you identify that as the problem, to regain it. To just say, you know what? No, I'm going to remember. Remember in Psalm 42, there's a lot of references to the countenance of God, the face of God. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember the face of God in all of this. And so too, throughout Hebrews 11, and again, I encourage you to read this on your own, and you'll see that there is this, again, a very long-term focus. Again, in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, diligently seeking something much further out, much, much further out. A lot of their faith was rooted on that perspective of looking for something that were come. Another one, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then there's one other last verse in here I wanted to call your attention to. This one right here in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As seeing him who is invisible. There's a different approach that you take when you start looking at things that are eternal. There's a different approach that starts to come about inside of you when your focus becomes on God, on the plan that he is doing, and on the long-term direction that he is taking his church and his plan to have us involved in the middle of it. And that's what I'm looking towards. That's what I'm going to try. I will resolve in myself that I will keep my eyes focused on him. And my first action when I'm feeling embattled, depressed, and frustrated will be to redirect my eyes to him, for I shall yet praise him. Amen.
There's a thread that the Lord is weaving throughout this. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. I just want to share something quickly with you. The Lord brought this back to my memory as we were sitting here listening to Brother Kendrick talk. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit. Everybody say he was Spirit-led. We like to talk about that. We're Spirit-led. The Lord led me to a Starbucks, and I taught a Bible study. The Lord led me to Applebee's, and I got some wings, and the waiter got the Holy Ghost. Jesus was led of the Spirit to Starbucks to get a black coffee, a little bit of cream. No, he was led to the wilderness, a place of being alone. Nobody likes the wilderness. The last couple days, I've just watched a couple of small YouTube videos of some hunters who packed 5, 6, 7, 8 miles into the wilderness on horseback. Talked about how there's just so quiet. There's nobody out here. Just us. So quiet. Jesus was led of the Spirit to the wilderness. Nobody around. All by himself. Lonely. And he was led there for a specific purpose. He went to bless him. He was about to deluge him with, he was going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon him he could not contain. I'm ready. Right, because that's what spirit leading is all about, right? No, he led him there to tempt him. Not just to tempt him, but to tempt him by Satan.
how in the world could spirit-led and tempted of Satan even be in the same verse? This is heresy. Right? That's what the scripture says. Jesus, led by the Spirit of God to a wilderness place to be tempted by the devil. And you know the rest of the story. He was tempted. He came out victorious. The reason I read this to you is because as I was sitting here, the Lord reminded me, took me back 3 years ago to a meeting that my wife and I were in. Some of you in the building may have been there in Wenatchee. Brother Jason Huckabee was preaching on a Friday night. I guess it had been this week 3 years ago. And he preached from this scripture, and he talked about how you go in the wilderness and you're in all these places, but rest assured, God will bring you out of the wilderness and he'll bring you out victorious. And we got in the car to drive home from Wenatchee, 3 or 4 hours, and my wife said, I feel like that word was really for us last night. And I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm kidding. But that's how I felt in my spirit. How dare you speak that upon us? I don't want any wilderness. I don't want any temptation. Right? We're Christians. We don't need the wilderness. That's for hunters. That's not for my walk with God, Brother Randy. The wilderness is not somewhere I want to walk through. I want to stay in the city. I want to stay where there's Starbucks. I want to stay where there's happy places, happy meals, happy playlands. She says, I felt like that word was for us last night. Speak for yourself, sister. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Little did I know. She was right. The Lord was warning me. I knew it. The minute she said it, I knew it. Oh, in Jesus' name. Lord, just prep us. Don't kill us. Just take it easy on us. We'll be led of you, but just take it easy on us. Anybody ever prayed that before? Lord, I know I have to go through this. Just take it easy on me. 16, 17. He took us through it. I had no idea in the car that day what was coming. And had you told me what was in that wilderness, I'd have said, I'm done. Done. He didn't tell me I was going to be tempted. And tempted I was. And a lot of different things. Temptation is not about sin. You know, we in church we say temptation. We think, oh man, well somebody was tempted with, you know, they were tempted with drugs, or they were tempted with immorality, or adultery, or fornication, and all that's real. Those are all temptations. But you could be tempted to give up on God. You could be tempted to question God. You could be tempted to question your oversight. You could be tempted to question whether or not you're even in your right mind anymore. You could be tempted to question whether or not you missed the will of God. All of these things are temptations. And boy, were we tempted, were we tested. But the word that night was, when Jesus came out, he walked into the synagogue. And he took the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This day is this word fulfilled in your ears and your hearing. That was the end of it. We like that scripture. We can shout to that scripture. It's really hard to shout to verse 1. But I'm telling you tonight, he will bring us through. It may be dark, but he'll bring us through. Would you stand with me tonight?
in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for every voice in this room tonight. Every voice of confirmation for somebody. Every voice of confidence for somebody. That what they're going through is not the end, Father. But you are in control. And it very well may be your leading that has brought them to this place. We trust in you tonight. We put our confidence in you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yet will I praise you, Father. I'm coming out of the wilderness, Father, and I'm going to worship you. I'll come out with a song upon my lips. I'll come out in praise and thanksgiving to you that you didn't abandon me. You didn't leave me alone, Father, but you were walking with me, leading me, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before you go, if you have a child or a teen that's in the back room tonight, when they got here, I went in the back room before we started, and I